Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
All right, this episode, we are going to sit down to a bunch of different styles of alcohol from Central City Brewing and Distilling.
Whatever you want to call them.
We're going to have some Red Racer beer. We're going to have some of the Queensboro Gin mixed drinks. We're going to have some Queensboro Gin drinks we're going to mix ourselves.
As well as their tonic.
Yes. So why don't we start with some of their... the Queensboro Gin Fizz. These are the non-sweetened gin drinks. What would you call these, really?
This is basically a vodka-infused...
Or gin.
Flavored, or sorry, gin-infused mineral water with flavor-infused kind of thing. So, myself, I've been on this crazy no-carb Atkins thing, whatever the hell you want to call it, keto, this, that, the other thing, whatever they want to call it.
And then you're drinking
all this beer. Watching my sugar intake and carb intake over the last few years, so... I've been drinking a lot of flavored carbonated water, you know, lemon flavored, lime flavored, whatever. It's a little different than normal water, but it's still got something interesting. It's got some flavor without killing me. Yeah. So I got really interested in these fizzes a couple of years ago when they first came out. When they first came out, I think they had a lime and a grapefruit or something like that. They seem to have added to it now.
Quite a few these days, yeah.
But, my God, what a lovely drink. There's no sugar in it. It's delicious. On a hot day, it's going to help you out there and quench the thirst. No hangover because you don't have all that sugar involved.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a win-win-win, right? So I've been a fan of these fizz drinks since they first came out, and it looks like we got a couple new flavors here that I haven't seen before.
Yes, we do. So why don't we we'll crack the fizz lime, the Queensboro Gin fizz lime first, so if you can grab that. And so, I'll just say Central City is one of the earlier breweries in BC here. They started as a brew pub at the Central City Mall in Surrey.
Yep.
You know, it's a bit of a rougher neighborhood back in the day.
I remember when they first opened, I thought they might struggle with that location, but they did quite well, actually.
It's funny, too, because, back when I wasn't a huge craft fan, I've only held two keg parties as a young adult, and they were both beers from Central City back in the day.
They have no problem selling kegs.
Before Red Racer was a thing, their brand for beer, they had all these, like, local-inspired names for their beers.
Yes.
So back then I had the Springboard Lager. It was like the lager, they'd put a springboard in the tree and they'd have to jump up with the big saws.
Yes. So Red Racer at that time was one of their beers. It was like the Red Racer Pale Ale or whatever.
It wasn't even a thing
was.
At that point.
Right?
And yeah,
that
no, Red Racer
took over.
Red Racer took over because at that time a brew pub could not sell beer outside of the brew pub.
Right.
The only way they could get around that was to build a separate brand.
Yeah.
So originally they'd have the Springboard Lager, blah, 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 and then they had the Red Racer series that would be sold in liquor stores.
Yes.
And it was a way to separate them. And, you know, things have definitely spiraled from there, and now they have specialty beers that aren't part of Red Racer. They have the Red Racer. They have
got
the Queensboro Gin line of gin drinks.
Game Day Lager.
Game Day Lager. They've got... what's the name of their whiskey now?
The Lohan McKinnon.
Yes. They have a new rum now, so they've really expanded. Yeah. Like it's a really big operation now for Canada.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're doing a lot over there. And from what I understand, there's also a little bit of contract thing going on there as well.
A little bit, yeah.
With some other liquor infused drinks and other beers. But so,
here's a little bit about this the Queensboro Gin.
I've had this one before, and in my mind, this is pretty similar to a G&T in a can.
Yeah.
Similar. It's so, more of a lime mineral water with a gin, but...
It says here, a hint of lime infused double gold award-winning Queensboro Gin makes this gin soda refreshing on its own or poured over ice.
Yeah.
It's just the ingredients are carbonated water, gin, citric acid, natural flavors, sodium benzoate, and potassium sorbate. So probably some just stabilizing agents.
They're just to make sure that nothing's going to grow in there.
Yeah.
Right. But at the end of the day, this is...
And if you look at it right now,
Yeah.
After we poured it, it just looks like a glass of water.
There's a little bit of haze in there, maybe like a tonic water kind of thing, but nothing serious. It looks like water. You could probably get away with this in a normal water bottle.
Yeah, definitely. Going for a walk in your thermos or whatever. On the aroma, there's a little bit of lime. There's not a lot to it. There's some botanicals that you'd probably get from the gin.
Yeah.
I don't know gin that well myself.
Well, gins can vary. Gins are very different. The Queensborough, I really enjoy. It's got that real citrus angle to it. There's a couple other gins in town that I really like. The Oddfellows. Is that what it's called? Oddfellows Society? No, wait. I always have a problem with the name
of
that place.
I'm not very good with the spirit, the distilleries.
But locally. These guys make a gin that's amazing. They're down in Yeast Van. They make a gin that has a super lavender up front aroma and flavor, and then it finishes with a lemon.
Okay.
It's really, really nice. But different gins have different flavors depending on the botanicals you put in there. They could be floral, they could be spicy, they could be citrusy, or different combinations thereof. Yeah. I've even had gins that have cucumber type notes and things like that, right? So the Queensborough is a real, I don't know, to me it's a traditional English, British style gin that's really got those citrusy things up front. But this is, it's all lime. You're getting lime.
Yeah, it's like a
little hint of gin and other things going on in there.
Yeah, there's not a lot. There's a little bit of the botanicals from the gin, a little bit of the juniper, whatever, lime.
Yeah, exactly.
Other than that, it's almost like just drinking a San Pellegrino, like a sparkling water. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one happens to be lime. Yeah. It's a 5% alcohol sparkling lime drink.
Yeah. So this is perfect for if I'm going camping or if I'm having a picnic.
Yep.
Or on a smoking hot day in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
This is what I would go for. Delicious. Easy. You don't have to overthink it.
And I don't know the award very well, but the Queensborough Gin is a 2017 double gold winner.
Yeah, the gin itself is an amazing gin. The first gin that they put out, I wasn't that impressed with. When they came out with the Queensborough, I was like, oh yeah. Oh, yeah, this is gin.
Here we go. Just a little bit more. I've picked up the gin bottle now, and it's the San Francisco World Spirits Competition Double Gold.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not screwing around.
No, they're not.
They've done some amazing things with the spirits over at Red Racer.
Central City,
whatever you want to call them. The whiskey that they released the first year was a little fresh. It was a little young.
Yep.
It was a little hot. The next year that they released, I guess that would have been 2018 releases, were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I had several of the releases throughout the year that were really amazing. They're going to be continuing to release stuff. As it ages, it's just going to get that much better.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, that's the big problem with whiskey in general is it's got to age.
Yeah. I noticed one of the other distilleries in town had just released their rye whiskey finally. I'm trying to remember who the hell it was. I just saw it on my social media feed today. I don't remember. But
my big problem is I don't like rye whiskey that much. I can get behind a really nice bourbon.
Yeah?
But that's about it for me.
Really? We got to work on that.
I don't know. And I despise scotch.
Oh, we definitely got to work on that.
No.
Nothing better than a nice, fine single malt.
But yeah, no, like this is just, it's just a nice, like, easy drinking lime sparkling water that happens to be 5% alcohol.
This is a July day on a patio.
Yeah.
Really?
Or if you're not going to crack a beer, crack this.
Absolutely.
And you could definitely drink the shit out of this all day.
The nice thing about this is it's, it's basically keto diet friendly or whatever you want to call it. If you're on that low carb thing, this will work.
If you've ever seen me, you know I'm not, but I still enjoy it. I probably should be, but I'm not.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, it's lime, it's water, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, really, if you come down to it, if it's not enough lime for you, you could just a little spritz of lime in there.
Squeeze a little.
Or you want to make it even better, lemon wedge in there too. Lemon lime together would be just epic.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, you cannot go wrong with a no sugar added drink. that has just enough flavor that you can just sit back and pound this.
Absolutely. Over ice.
Especially if you like a carbonated beverage, right? If you like a soda or something, you're not going to go wrong here.
Yeah. So I don't drink sodas anymore, but I drink flavored carbonated water all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just that next step up where you turbo it.
Yes. All right. So we're going to slide into the next fizz. Another next one of these fizz. Sugar-free.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
That one's going to fizz.
Good thing it wasn't open.
That one's going to fizz.
It will.
All right. So this is the... It's not pamplemousse. It's the grapefruit.
I think I've tried this one, too.
So, again, this is 5% alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Which is perfect for a summer day when you want to maintain. After you've already got where you're going, you've got to maintain. Oh, this one smells like grapefruit.
So, it did its job, didn't it?
It smells like grapefruit and no sugar.
It looks water. Like it looks like water
with a little bit of citric acid.
When you pour it, it has a slight head.
There's a benzoate of some sort I'm picking up in the aroma.
I'm not.
Okay, so this is basically exactly the same thing as the lime one, except it's grapefruit instead of lime.
It's actually more aromatic than the lime is.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
That's grapefruit is more aromatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's less flavorful, actually.
Yeah. I'm not as much of a fan of this one as the lime.
It's
like the
very,
lime
very light grapefruit.
It is. I'm thinking with ice in there, and once it melts a little bit, it would almost be a little too benign.
Could be, yeah. So get the whiskey rocks then.
They don't work, do they?
I don't know. It's just a freezing cold rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is okay. I think the lime's better.
It depends. Like if you like a grapefruit flavor, I bet you anything, a mix of this
I
and
love
lime
grapefruit,
together would be great.
But this is too subtle. This isn't grapefruit enough for me.
It's almost like more grapefruit rind on the finish.
Yeah. Yeah, I prefer the lime so far.
But again, this is just something, an easy sipper on a fucking
brutally
hot
me?
Day. This would be amazing, right?
On the right brutal hot day, you could knock that grapefruit one back and not even know there was grapefruit in it.
You could knock this back better than any friggin' lager.
Right?
Yeah.
Be like sparkling water.
I can actually enjoy this because it's like a sparkling water. I can't really enjoy a lager.
Oh, wow. I'm going to fix you.
No. And, you know, someone has to be the counterpoint to Carnell.
Yeah, I prefer the lime.
So do I, actually, yeah.
Okay, we know all the lime's better.
Well, let's move into this next one. This is a really interesting one to me, and I've never had
this one. I haven't seen before.
This is a new one for them, and it was selling really well. It sounds like because they didn't have a lot of bottle or cans around of it.
Oh, is that right?
I'll just say like these are all samples that I was given by the brewery.
Okay.
And this one, they only gave me one can. They gave me multiple cans of some of them.
So this is hard to find.
So this is their
limited release
watermelon jalapeno.
That just sounds weird.
Yeah, it does. And I'm really excited to try this. Again, this is one of the sugar-free ones, so it's not going to be huge in flavor.
Thank God.
Let's get in there.
No, I'm into sugar-free options, especially if they don't have fake sugar in them.
That's my problem, is I usually drink fake sugar shit, so.
Yeah. Apparently that fools your body into thinking it's sugared.
Probably. Just as bad for you, I'm sure.
Okay, so this looks like the other ones. It looks like sparkling water, basically, with maybe a slight haze.
Well, this is a gin-infused drink, right?
Oh, my God.
It's not a beer.
It smells like watermelon.
Holy crap, does it ever. Like, that's huge watermelon.
It's like...
What does it say on the ingredients here?
Jolly Rancher watermelon flavor.
I always like to check, because watermelon's so hard to get the flavor out of.
Yeah.
This is carbonated water, gin, citric acid, natural flavors, sodium benzoate, and potassium sorbate. So
natural.
This is natural. This is all natural.
Yeah, it definitely smells like watermelon. It smells like super
watermelon
crazy.
Jolly Rancher almost.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
I'm not getting any jalapeno on the aroma.
You're right. Yeah, I forgot all about the jalapeno. All I'm smelling is watermelon.
Yeah. So I'm expecting some little bite to the flavor.
Little heat. Little zing.
There is a tiny little something in the background.
What the?
I like it. It's a little... This is the most flavorful of the three.
There is a little tiny heat at the end.
There's more sweetness to this than the other three.
Yeah, it's definitely sweeter, yeah.
And then there's a little heat kick at the back.
It's got that weird little heat at the end, yeah.
That's neat.
What the? That is interesting.
This is probably actually the one I'd go to the most. Lime next, but because there's a little more depth to it.
I think I'd still go for the lime. That's really interesting.
I like that little
heat
kick.
At the end is so odd. I like
that. That is neat.
Interesting.
And I think it really goes well with it, just the hints of gin that are in there, right?
You know what? Honestly, at the end of the day, if you put all three of those into a cooler full of ice, and I was walking by and grabbing one, I probably wouldn't pay that close attention to what I was grabbing.
And I bet you would probably enjoy every
It wouldn't matter which one it was.
If you were hanging out with the head brewer, Gary Lowen, you wouldn't give a shit.
Well, then it wouldn't matter because they'd be free.
True. Kind of like these ones, but...
But yeah, I mean, I think I prefer the lime, but really, honestly, if they were all in a bucket of ice, I'd grab any one of them and be happy with it.
So would I, but after I'd had the watermelon jalapeno, I think I'd go back to it. I like that, just that little kick. It's different.
Definitely different.
I mean, you know, so often you get a sweet and sour.
Yeah.
But this is not a sweet and sour. This is
a sweet and spice, heat.
Like a sweet heat, right?
Yeah.
It's nice.
You know, Gary's always done some interesting things with spice, with heat. I remember way back in the day, pre-Red Racer days.
Yeah.
He worked at a brewery in North Vancouver called... Sailor Hagar's.
Sailor Hagar's, yes.
And they had their own brewery there for quite some time.
They don't anymore, unfortunately.
They do not. They got rid of it right before he moved to Red Racer. But at Sailor Hagar's, I remember back in the day when I first got really interested in craft beer and stuff, Sailor Hagar's was one of the only places in town that was a true brew pub. So my buddy and I would drive from Port Moody out to North Van to go check out their beer and see what they had. One night we were there and they had a cask up on the counter.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my God, there's cask beer. We'll take the cask, serve us up a pint of the cask.
Yeah.
So they bring the cask over and we start sipping it. And it's like, what the hell's going on here? I'm starting to feel some heat on my tongue. And there's like an odd kind of green pepperous kind of flavor. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I was kind of confused. And finally... Someone that worked there, one of the waitresses or something, came over and said, what do you think of the cask? And we're like, this is really weird. Like, my mouth is kind of burning, sort of. Like, what's the deal? Oh, it's a jalapeno pale ale, she says. Oh, my God. Well, that changed everything. Now that I know there's jalapenos in
No shit.
I'm not wondering why my mouth is burning and why this beer is so weird. So that was one of my first experiences with a spicy pepper in my beer.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was Gary.
Nice. That's awesome.
So no surprise that he's trying to put jalapenos in with a freaking watermelon.
And then when it comes down to it, if you're into beer... In British Columbia, you know Gary Lowen.
He's been
around forever. Like, I mean, my favorite beer that he produces is Thor's Hammer, which is a barley wine. It's a great beer.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I wish they'd produce more of it in less quantity.
Yeah, is the 10-year-old version is the best.
Never had it.
I was around years ago. He had a keg of Thor's Hammer that he made when he was a North Van.
Yeah.
And he found it in his garage years later when he was working at Red Racer.
Wow.
So he brought it in, and we did a camera event for the Campaign for Real Ale, Vancouver chapter, where we went out there to do some tastings and hang out at Red Racer back when they were just at their location up at the mall there.
Yeah.
And he brought this keg out. Oh, my God. The smoothest, tastiest Thor's Hammer I've ever had.
That's awesome.
The longer it sits, the longer it ages, the smoother it gets.
I believe it.
It's unbelievable stuff.
Well, I mean, not theirs, but I've had the barley wine from Pike Brewing in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to buy multiple very old vintages of that beer. And it is so good as it ages. And the last time I was in Seattle, the bartender did not know how to charge for their barley wine. And I got bottles of their oldest vintage for really cheap. And I was really excited. And I grabbed more bottles.
Well, if that's the price, I'll take more.
Exactly.
I love it.
No, if it's a well-made barley wine, like Thor's Hammer is,
and it'll it's bottled well, age.
It's not too much oxidation.
Yep.
And you know what? Even then, oxidation is not always your enemy when it comes to a barley wine.
Not necessarily.
As long as it's bringing the sherry flavors and not the cardboard, you actually
are
a fan of oxidation, because that's what makes a barley wine age so well.
And my preference is actually the barrel-aged Thor's Hammer, which more than likely has been exposed to oxygen.
Oh, yeah. No, it's often really sherry-flavored, and that's all oxidation.
Yeah.
It's just the good oxidation.
Yeah. You got to control it.
Yeah. Oh, no, totally.
And they do a good job of that.
The heavier hop bill, the more likely you have cardboard. And the lower your hop bill, from what I understand, is more sherry.
Really?
Hops, from what I understand, just happen like I'm just
very susceptible to oxidization. Very susceptible
just being tasting shitty after they oxidize.
Yeah, I could see that, especially the later edition hops.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, you're the brewer, I'm the drinker, but that's all what I
know is I try to minimize the oxygen in there. I don't care what it does. I just want it to be minimal.
Yeah, exactly. Man, the more I drink this watermelon jalapeno, the less watermelon I'm tasting. Yeah. The more jalapeno
it's
building.
It's kind of balanced. It's very interesting, actually. The more I drink it, the more I like it.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same. Just, and I've noticed you're fucking crushing that faster than I am.
It's really easy to drink.
Oh, yeah,
what can I say? It's juicy. It's watermelon-y. It's got maybe that slight heat, that slight spice is maybe forcing me to drink more.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking, oh, my mouth is hot. I need to cool it down.
Yeah.
I need to drink some more.
You know what would go really well with this? Food.
Like what?
Anything really. But maybe some tacos even.
With that watermelon flavor? I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe a fish taco.
Fish taco, yeah. I think so. Just
that could work.
Spice, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of sweet with a bit of spice. And then the more you drink it, the more spice there is. So you have something that's a little bit sweet, a little bit spicy.
That could work. For sure.
A little fish, something. I don't know. All right. So the next one we're going to hit is different from the fizzes. This sure is one of their twists. So this is...
Sweetened.
This is their lime cucumber mint. With the Queensborough gin.
What kind of sweeteners in here? I'm guessing cane sugar?
That is a very good question. Ingredients are carbonated water, gin, sugar, citric acid, natural flavors, sodium benzoate, and potassium.
So it doesn't say what sugar it is.
Just sugar.
Yeah. Could be any kind of sugar. We don't know. Could be cane sugar. Could be beet sugar. Could be, I don't know. Hi, something or other.
Roger Sugar.
HFFCS or whatever the hell. Oh, it smells like mint. With a in the background, I'm getting the lemon and lime and that kind of thing. But you definitely get that mint up front.
Yeah, I know. It smells like cucumber water with some mint.
Yeah.
And then just a hint of lime in the background.
Yeah.
It doesn't smell that much sweeter than the fizzes, really.
Mm-mm.
But in the flavor, it definitely is.
Yeah, you definitely get the sweetness in the flavor.
Oh. I really enjoy these, but I'm a soda drinker, although I'm a diet soda drinker, really, but Diet Coke. But this is more of a soda drinker's
for sure.
Beverage. It's still 5% alcohol. It's sweet. It's definitely lime and this cucumber.
And the mint's coming through.
Mint comes through at the end. You know, it's like, think of like just the mojito, like grinding up that mint at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of that going on.
Mojito with gin instead of rum.
Right? Yeah. But I'm more talking about that mint that you get from mojito.
I'm definitely getting the sweetness from the sugar, but it's not like like overpowering. It's not like crazy sweet like some sodas. Like I don't consume a lot of sugar myself. So a lot of times sugary drinks really punch me in the face. Like it's just too much.
Yeah.
This isn't too much.
As a person who drinks Diet Coke or Diet Pops usually, this is not overly sweet. This is not going to be like the real sodas, the real Pepsis and Cokes. Right. It's not going to be that sugar diabetic coma.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a little sugary than you're used to.
For me, it is. For sure.
But I like it. This is like, I prefer the twists myself.
Mm, is that right? And I prefer the fizzes. Simply because I'm used to not having that much sugar. So there you go. If you consume sugar, drink the twists. If you don't consume sugar, drink the fizz.
Or if you consume artificial sugars, because I don't really drink, I don't eat or drink a lot of sugars per se.
Artificial sugars are going to keep your tongue in that sweet space though, right?
Yeah, but they're not as sickeningly sweet for me.
Okay.
Some people find them really chemical, very chemically. And I do for some artificial sweeteners, some are disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not but a I'm, fan I'm, of most I'm
used artificials. I'm used to some, so it's just I'm used to that flavor now. Right. After years and years of drinking the garbage.
Yeah. The only artificial sweetener I'm really okay with is that herb?
Stevia?
Stevia.
I hate that stuff. It's so gross.
Small quantities in the background, it kind of works, but yeah. Other than that, like most of the false sweeteners, I detect them immediately and I detest them.
Makes sense. I don't know. I like this. I really enjoy this. I can drink a ton of this.
For a sweetened drink, this isn't too bad. It's tolerable.
Yeah, no, this is my jam. For a non-beer alcoholic beverage that I would drink in the summer, I would pick this up
all the time. It's got nice flavor. It's got big flavor. It would go great on ice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little tiny bit too sweet for me.
This is a gin cocktail, basically, right?
It is, absolutely. Yeah. You bet. It's a gin mojito.
This would probably be great, shaked on ice.
Sure. Maybe add a little extra gin to it.
Oh, we could do that. We'll get to that later.
Put this in a shaker with a little extra gin and some ice.
Bring it up to 6 or 7%.
Bada boom. I might have heard that from somebody's spouse.
Okay, well, wouldn't surprise me. I mean, we all know Parallel 49 has their, Tricycle Rattler, is it?
Yes.
And I don't know if they still do it, but back in the original tasting room they had, they used to have an option of putting a shot of vodka in it.
That extra shot, yes.
So it's like, oh, why have a Rattler when you can have a Rattler with vodka and just have a fucking regular beer?
So a good friend of Gary's told me the same thing. She said, if you put a shot of gin into one of those fizzes, it's even better.
Nice. All right. Well, why don't we move on to our first beer of this tasting then?
Why not? This is about beer, isn't it?
Usually. But we can branch out, right? There's lots of good distilleries
Pacific
in town.
Booze Chat.
Yes. And if any distilleries in town want to get in touch with us and have their product on our chat, Tariq, just let us know and we'll do it. Tariq.
Mad Lab Spirits,
yes.
Come out and hang out, Scott.
Yes, exactly. Let's have some fun. All right.
Okay, so let's get into these Red Racer beers. We got a blonde here.
The first beer is a fairly new beer. I think it was just actually recently released. This is their Dirty Blonde Ale.
Doesn't look familiar to me.
5% alcohol, so it's the same as these fizzes in the twists.
Yep.
Let's see if it has anything here.
It's got a nice lid.
Easy drinking with a touch of sun-kissed color. The Dirty Blonde Ale is a natural and life... Or the Dirty Blonde Ale is all natural and the life of the party.
Life of the party.
All right, let's crack this.
Pass it's got a good-looking label.
It's got the typical Red Betty, Red Racer logo on it.
But with this weird silvery, interesting road behind her that's all wavy and everything. And the Blonde Ale's kind of like, I don't know, almost like an automotive logo kind of thing.
Yeah. Which it's got some hop...
Hops in the background there, yeah.
Yeah, American listeners will know Red Racer as Red Betty because, unfortunately, Bear Republic Racer 5, they kind of threatened a lawsuit.
So they not only did they threaten a lawsuit, but the lawyers were actually involved. And it was settled in court that Red Racer would maintain the name in Canada and Red Betty would be the name that it goes under in the United States of America.
Unfortunately, we still get Racer 5 in Canada sometimes. How is that fucking legal?
I don't know, but I don't buy it.
Neither do I.
Which is funny because my wife's family actually lives in Healdsburg, California, which is right up the street from... where they make the Racer 5 at California Republic or whatever. Bear Republic, sorry. And we visited there several years ago, and I made sure I wore my Red Racer into the tap room. But nobody there knew what I was
going on. Oh, no, of course not. It's just the owners.
Yeah, it's actually their lawyers.
Well, right? The owners would know.
You have a lawyer on retention. They need to make themselves feel important and like they're needed, so if they're on retainer, then they do whatever they need to do to make themselves feel like they need to be there.
But you know that the lawyers will not go without the permission.
At the end of the day, one of the owners there said, yeah, let's do this, which is a bullshit move, and it was probably not in their best interest. They probably don't sell a lot of beer in BC.
No, the difference between Red Racer and Racer 5 and the current lawsuit between Stone Brewing and Keystone are very different, right?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is there's no confusion.
For a consumer not to know the difference between Racer 5 and Red Racer is ridiculous. You would have to be a complete moron. Which and I guess describes a lot of the people in the Americas.
Unfortunately, it's happened to a not even open yet brewery in BC.
Really?
Was going to open in Penticton as Hatchery Brewing.
Yeah.
And now they've changed their name because of one of these stupid, threats with legal action.
Somebody who's not even in the same market.
Yes. Someone, I think, from the United States. Exactly. It's just stupid.
It's so litigious south of the border.
And unfortunately, it can bleed across the border. But let's get back to our blonde ale we've got here.
Let's do
the
some beer.
Dirty blonde ale. Finally, back to the beer. It's got a nice kind of golden color.
Super golden. Almost completely crystal clear. Just
super white
head. Minimal haze. Yeah, a nice white head. Some decent lacing. It's sticking to the sides fairly nicely. Get that
grainy sort of maybe biscuity grainy. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, definitely that grainy biscuity.
It's kind of a bit of citrus or something. But it's fruity.
Just
for
a hint.
Sure.
Yeah, just a hint. Oh wow! I'm getting that
a lot of flavor for what it is, right?
Yeah, for that kind of beer, I'm getting a real. A light caramely toffee kind of thing right at the beginning.
Bready malt.
Bready for sure. Toasty. That's really flavorful. And then it's amazing for a blonde ale.
Got some citrus in there. And there's actually some...
There's a hop.
Like there's hops.
There's a hop really presence there.
But there's a hop presence.
There's a hop presence. I would call it bitterness, but it's almost on like the top of your tongue at the back.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not all up front in your face.
This is not a pale ale or IPA bitterness.
No.
But it's got a bite.
It's definitely there, and it's almost separate somehow.
You know what it reminds me of? The bite that it has reminds me of the jalapeno. You know?
It shows up at the same time kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's not a huge bitterness, but it's just a slight little bite.
Showing up at the back end, yeah. Wow, that is really nice for a blonde.
Yeah, this is a nice new addition to their lineup.
A lot of flavor for a blonde, too.
Because I usually pass by blondes.
Yeah, they're not my go-to, for sure. Sometimes they can tell you a lot about a brewery.
Much like a light lager can or whatever.
Sure, yeah. It's not an easy style to fake.
Much like a Pilsner or a light lager, I just don't usually like them.
Mm-hmm.
This one catches my attention.
Because it has some crazy flavor.
Yeah.
It's got some malt in there to back it up.
Malt and like that, just the citrus and slight bitterness and it's slight
incredibly
hops.
Incredibly balanced.
Mm-hmm.
The hops are there, but they're in balance with the malt. Yeah. Nothing's winning out.
Yeah, no. This may not be the Beer Geek beer of the year.
No.
But this one can still really get the beer geeks to come and also get the non-beer geeks. It might be a little flavorful for them, but it'll still probably catch their attention.
It's a solid beer, though, with no off flavors, and everything's balanced. It's for a blonde ale, it's amazing.
Someone who likes
A blonde ale shouldn't be that exciting.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't.
But it's great.
This is a beer that just someone who enjoys beer but doesn't know much about it can still enjoy.
Yeah.
But then you can also throw a pint at someone who's a big beer fan and go, holy shit, it actually has flavor.
Yeah, this is an accessible beer that can also be appreciated by an aficionado.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And for that, I give shout out and kudos to Gary and Zach.
And the whole team, yeah. Zach, Plowright,
everything. This is amazing. Very good blonde. I mean, blonde should be a really boring, non-exciting style, but this is amazing.
Yeah, no, I can crush the shit out of this, and I have been. All right, let's move to the next one.
All right.
So the next one is the Superfruit IPA.
So the Superfruit is this year's choice to be the beer that's in support of autism research.
So $2 from every six pack of tall cans goes to autism research.
Yeah. So autism now affects 1 in 68 children, with boys being 4 times more likely to have autism than girls. It's the fastest growing developmental disorder, with 1% of the world population affected by autism.
That is a scary number.
Right? Central City Brewers and Distillers remains dedicated to supporting autism research in Canada. Since 2012, more than $600,000 has been raised and donated towards better understanding autism and how to effectively treat the condition. For more information, please visit centralcitybrewing.com/autism, AUTISM. These guys have been doing this for a few years now.
Yeah, quite a few years. They've done their double IPA for years, and then they moved to their IPA. They did their Pilsner, I think, the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Now they're doing the super.
So they're moving super it fruit IPA. They're moving around to the different brands.
And now this pack of beer is not the only way they raise beer or raise money. They also raise money at a sort of high price dinner where they do a lot of like what is it? What do they call it again now?
Some kind of auction or?
Yeah, they do some high price like silent auctions silent and everything. Auction, yeah. So people like us can't afford to go to this. So it's friends of the owners of the brewery that go to this.
Hey, so you never know. Maybe we'll get a deal on the auction.
Maybe. But that's where a lot of the money is made. But people like the average Joe, the average
you
Jane.
You can do your part by buying a pack. This case, yeah. It's a six-pack. Sorry. Excuse me. It's only a six-pack.
Now, I will put on my other hat here and say that autism is not caused by vaccines.
Thank goodness.
Don't be a
someone's
fucking
willing
idiot.
To say that. Yeah, but, I'm sorry. When measles is alive and well in BC, we got a problem.
But even if vaccines caused autism,
yeah,
is your child better off with autism?
Yeah.
Or dead?
Autism is
don't be
the
a
better
fucking
choice.
Asshole. Yeah, obviously, even if there was a 1% chance, which isn't, that your child got autism from a vaccine, you go for the vaccine.
And let's be honest, there's been a few people with autism who've made huge fucking differences in this world.
Some of the largest scientists in history have autism.
Right? So why is that such a bad thing?
Exactly.
Maybe we want to advance our civilization.
Yeah, our civilization is better because of autistic people.
Thank you.
So stop being such a fucking bigot.
Let's promote autism.
Well, let's promote all people, regardless of who you are, what you are.
If you're a human being, you deserve respect and you deserve
yes.
any opportunities that you have in front of you yeah. to make the world a better place.
And if we can raise money to help out people with autism,
fuck yeah.
Then fuck, I'm all the fucking about it.
I'm with you.
And this beer we're about to crack is helping to raise money for that yes. cause.
Every six pack of the Superfruit IPA with mango and passion fruit from Red Racer that you purchase, every $2 goes to autism research. Please, I mean, you can't find a better excuse for buying a six pack. A whole $2 out of this six pack. I don't know what you're paying for a six pack. It probably could be between $12 and $18, but $2 from that going towards autism, that's a yeah. big thing. That's a big and thing. And
these are 500 milliliter cans.
Yeah, they only do half. And they do only do half liter cans.
Not
now.
Only that, Red Racer, Central City, has been really good about their 500 milliliter cans are usually the same price as most breweries'
yes.
355 or milliliter
close
cans.
To, or close so to.
They're 12 ounce cans for Americans. They're the same price as Red Racer's 16 ounce cans, approximately. So you are stupid not. If you want a good deal, you're going to buy the Red Racer these days. Like, it's just, you can't beat the price.
Yeah.
You can't.
You're right.
You crack that, Matt.
All right. Let's crack do the
Superfruit IPA. Nice growl.
It's got a nice color to it. It's a little on the hazy side. It's a little deeper in color than some of the hazies. It's more like a, well, I don't know what you'd call that.
It's
a deep
orange?
Yeah, like light copper or something like that. Maybe a deep, deep amber.
I'm not the color expert. I'm not colorblind, but I'm practically colorblind because I'm a guy.
I'd call that a deep amber.
Kind of a tannish head or
something.
Yeah,
the head's a little off white. It's quite thick. Yeah, okay. It's a little heavier on the carbonation side of things.
Well, mine is not quite as much as yours.
Mm. Mm.
It's definitely got a lot of fruit to the nose.
Yeah, almost a bit of floral as well. But
yeah, yeah, I can't pick out what the fruits are, but there's a lot of fruit going on the nose.
Yeah. When I taste it, I'm getting more of the stone fruit.
Some sort of like
of that tropical
tart citrus.
There's definitely that tart.
It's not like I'm not saying it's not a sour beer, but there's a tart citrus.
Yeah, it's like more like
a
the
lemon
rind
or
more like the rind, yeah. like the pith.
That, lemon that rind of, pith, yeah. something going on there.
Probably grapefruit.
Yeah, and this is definitely trying to aim towards the New England IPA. It's not that, but it's aiming for more wow. juicy than bitter.
Yeah, there's a lot of tropical stone fruit
yeah.
kind of thing going on in there for sure. Very fruity, very, very juicy. But, yeah, you're right. Not the same as a New England.
It's not a true New England. It's one of those, I'll laugh, because it's kind of like what Palstreet's doing these days. They've got the No Coast IPA they made. It's a little bit of West Coast, a little bit of East Coast. It's not either, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm getting some apricot in there.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The head is really interesting. It's
a little bit of peach.
Super rocky.
A little bit of like, it's a little bit of resin in there. There's a little pith.
Yeah.
Not a real big bitterness punch, which is more like the New England style.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely leaning towards that New England style, and it's super fruity, super juicy.
Yeah, it's just not it's not murky. It's just it's super cloudy.
Yeah, yeah, I know yeah. you're right. Yeah, although that might be a good descriptor to use on some of those other ones. They were murky, yeah. which is beyond cloudy.
Yeah, and this right? is cloudy.
So this is definitely cloudy, definitely hazy. I'd say it's more hazy than some of the ones we looked at tonight. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Hazy, not murky. Murky almost involves chunks.
I've had those beers.
So at the end of the day, this is an interesting beer. It's very fruity. It goes in a lot of directions. It's got a lot of interesting flavors. Yeah. And I wouldn't be opposed to knocking back three or four of these.
No. And I mean, really, when it comes down to it, one of the best things you can do if you're looking for Red Racer beer, head to the BC liquor stores or...
Yeah.
At least in BC, the BC liquor store is the best price for Red Racer beer. Mm. It is one of the best priced craft beers you're going to find.
What about at the brewery?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. If you can have a Surrey, it's definitely a great price.
I think it might be a little bit cheaper at the brewery.
But their reach is province-wide in the BC liquor stores.
Yeah.
And you can't beat the price.
If like, for a half-liter can, you're looking at a six-pack that's 3 liters.
Yeah.
Compared to the next six pack, which might be maybe 1.2 liters or something like that. I don't know.
Well, one of the big things that really threw me was they do a 12 case tall cans mixed with a super, I think it's super or super solar or super fruit IPA.
Super solar, probably.
IPA, their ISA, and something else.
Yes, yes. The three packs.
It's 12 case.
It's a 12 pack with the three different flavors.
It is the same price as a 12 case small bottles of Budweiser.
Wow. And that's a no brainer.
It's no brainer because while it's not a crazy hot bomb. It's not a crazy New England. It's a bunch of well-made IPAs or pale ales or something.
Yeah.
For the same price as fucking Budweiser in a smaller bottle.
You can have Budweiser, which has an off flavor of banana, or you can buy
in a 355 milliliter
with three interesting beers in it.
And at 500 milliliters.
Hmm.
What am I going to do?
Tuffy.
Oh, no. Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, no, if you want to find Red Racer beers, your best bet is the only time I'll ever recommend this is go find Red Racer at BC Liquor Store.
The government, yeah.
Because the government's shit, but they sell their beer at a great price. Though. So if you're looking at, like, the next, like, juicy, hazy craze, don't go there. But if you're looking for a really well-priced, solid good beer.
All around, yeah.
Go to the BC Liquor Store and find this beer because... Yeah. They're going to have the best fucking price.
At the end of the day, if you're about price, then you're probably going to end up wild with Wildcat or something stupid like that. And if you do that, then that's on you.
Yeah.
Like, enjoy
that. We all make bad choices.
Enjoy that trip. I hope you survive. But at the end of the day, if you're looking for a decent beer at a decent price and you're looking at your wallet, I'm not sure that Red Racer is a bad decision. They also have their what they call bargain brands or whatever with the beer league lager and that kind of thing. Also very interesting and I would recommend that you look at it, especially if you're on a budget,
because
it's good beer and it's not expensive.
All right. So we're going to move on to our next beer. This is a brand new SKU from Red Racer. This is their Lime Margarita Ghost.
That sounds interesting.
Which, as tequila, they did not produce, because obviously you can't make tequila in Canada and call it tequila.
Is that right?
Yes,
it
must
be from the region. It would, similar to
there's a certain region in Mexico that can make tequila. Otherwise, it's
Northern Mexico.
What do they call it again?
Mezcal.
Now? Mezcal. But even then, in Canada, I don't think it can be a mezcal either. It'd have to be a agave spirit.
Right.
So this is a tequila lime salt ghost.
What? Tequila lime salt
ghost. So this is part of their new series of spirit-infused beers.
This is kind of brilliant. It seems like the next step.
Yeah, definitely. Now, if they can just make a agave spirit... And infuse it, because you could still call it tequila for this.
Not a lot of agave being grown in BC, I'm thinking.
Well, but they already don't fit under the craft distiller.
Okay.
Because they...
they're outside the taxation bracket.
They make too much Queensborough gin. They also have that other Betty's Hard Cider make. So they already have too much spirits to be considered a craft spirit in BC. Gotcha. So they can do whatever they want now, because it's all about volume.
Yep.
For people that don't know, a craft spirit in British Columbia, 100% of the malts must be grown in BC.
That's tough.
And it's tough, yeah. And you have to be under a certain number. I don't remember what the number is. But even then, to make a rum, which they're doing now, you can't prove that that sugar is being grown in BC. Because sugar beets and sugar cane aren't grown in BC.
Wow.
So right away, if you want to make a rum, you can't be a craft distiller.
Wow.
But then they're way over that volume number anyways.
Right. So who cares?
Let's
pay the tax and move on.
Yeah, exactly. So now they're pushing, you know, they may not have the craft designation.
Right.
They're still a fucking craft distiller.
Oh, absolutely. And
now they have to push to make enough to get that next level, to
make that money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they have to play the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I said, they don't make this spirit.
Right. You're right.
But let's get on to this. This one is actually pretty murky, too. Pretty murky orange.
You're actually white head. I'm kind of surprised that it's not clear, but yeah, okay. It is hazy for sure. It's got an interesting aroma.
It's got lime and it's got that salt salinity.
Tastes like beer. Tastes. It smells. It smells like beer. It smells like lime.
But it smells. It's the lime and the salt.
And there's something else in there that I'm not quite deciphering. I'm not sure what it is. It might be something from the yeast or something.
Could be, yeah. I'm not a pro here.
But yeah, for the most part, I'm smelling a lot of lime.
Yeah. As you burp on your first sip.
That is fizzy.
It is fizzy, yes.
Holy moly.
It's a ton of lime up front, and then that salt just kicks in.
There's
right?
a bit of sweetness in there, though, too.
Yeah, oh yeah. Mm. I actually preferred this on tap at the brewery, but I really do enjoy this can.
This isn't far off from a lighter beer with a little bit of lime cordial poured into it. You know what I mean?
With a nice salt kick.
Yeah, I'm not getting a lot of the salt.
Oh, I am. Okay.
Nice. I'm getting a lot of the lime.
For me, the salt just builds.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm getting the lime like crazy.
But I'm actually a huge fan of this beer. Like, there's so much flavor for, what is it here? 5% alcohol. This just kicks you in the face with flavor.
This would be very enjoyable on a hot summer day out on a deck somewhere.
Yeah. I just need a hot summer day now.
Yeah, right? We're only a couple months away.
Yeah. Or next week. I don't know. Never know, right?
Around here, you
this
never
is
know.
Metro Vancouver. You never know. It could be summer next week and then winter
for a
again.
Day. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, this would go very nicely out on a hot summer patio. Yeah, I got no complaints with that.
No.
It's got the nice lime.
And you know what? I'm actually noticing that, and I know it says lime, but I'm getting more lemon build as I sip more of it.
No.
Personally.
Now, lime margarita, am I guessing, is there a little bit of tequila in it?
Yeah, there's definitely, there is tequila. They don't say what source the tequila is.
So it may have been in a tequila barrel.
Yeah. I don't know. Here, let's see. The Red Racer Spirited Series gives a beer take on a classic margarita.
Mm-hmm.
Ingredients, water, malted barley, wheat, lime juice, hops, yeast, tequila, salt, sodium benzoate, and potassium sorbate.
So tequila is an ingredient?
Yeah, no. Tequila is definitely an ingredient. There's no barrel involved here at all.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Well, they're not lying when they say margarita.
No, not at all. No. It's got salt, lime, tequila. It's got everything in there. Yeah.
I'll take it.
And, you know, there is a hint of grain in the background. Like, it is still a beer in there somewhere. For people that complain about beer-flavored
definitely.
Beer.
I'm definitely getting that beer background.
I still want to smack people that say beer-flavored beer, but there is some beer flavor in there.
This is a margarita-flavored beer, so I understand where that's coming from.
Yeah.
You know, a beer-flavored beer is a different thing. That's the beer that tastes like the beer that your parents drank 30 years ago or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Garbage.
Well, not necessarily, but it's the flavors that are derived from hops and malt and yeast.
No. Right? Those flavors were not derived from hops. They were derived from corner rice, a little bit of malt, and they threw like three hop pellets in there and said it's beer.
There's still hops in there.
Yeah.
But
three or four hops.
But what I'm saying is they weren't using lime and salt.
No,
and,
no exactly. You know,
so.
Definitely.
Right? So, yeah, I get that. And this is working. I like this. This is a nice, tart, lighter kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, with a little bit of ice on a summer patio, I wouldn't turn it away.
I'm really hoping they keep this beer around for the summer, because this is a summer crusher.
That's where it should be.
Yeah. And this is just recently released. It's not in full wide release yet either, so
I'm thinking they're ramping up to the summer season.
I think so, yes,
because we're in spring now in BC, which is almost summer.
It depends on the day.
Yeah, well, next week could change, but for the people in Ontario and Alberta and Manitoba that had snow last week, yeah, this is summer.
A week and a half ago, it was really warm. Now it's kind of back to rainy and cold, but it'll be right back to warm and dry
easy
again.
Easy now. It's been gorgeous since February.
Don't forget, we live in a fucking rainforest.
Well, you got to keep it green.
Hey, a rainforest doesn't snow a lot. It rains a lot.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You gotta
water them things. All right. Anyways, lime margarita goza. Yes.
Agreed.
For summer. Do it.
All right. I'm going to take a quick break here. So we're going to slowly work our way out of the beer here. So we're going to do a gin and tonic.
Oh, my goodness.
But we have two versions of the Queensborough Gin from Central City Brewing here.
This is super interesting to me because I'm a big fan of the Queensborough Gin, and you have another version here that I wasn't even aware of.
So first off, we're going to do the Queensborough Dry Gin.
Which is the one I'm familiar
with.
Which
is the small batch, handcrafted, 43% alcohol, named after the first official capital of BC. Mm-hmm. The award-winning small batch gin is a tribute to the traditional London dry style. Distilled with BC fine spruce tips and Rocky Mountain juniper berries, this is a true crafted spirit blended tradition with modern distilling. And like I said, it's the San Francisco World Spirits Competition Double Gold.
Yes.
And then we have another version that not everyone's familiar with. It's the Queensborough Amakase?
What?
Japanese style gin.
Omakase.
Omakase. Japanese style gin. It is, again, 43% alcohol. This is the omakase, referring to the Japanese expression for chef's choice. Is a reference to our distiller's selection of Japanese botanicals.
Okay.
Fuck, I can't even read that.
Well, I got to put my glasses on.
That's
now you're putting me on the spot. Jesus Christ.
If I can't read it, you can't read it, we just skip it.
Okay, so Japanese botanicals. Sancho pepper, yuzu lemon, cherry blossom, and Japanese tea add to traditional gin botanicals to create a citrus and floral gin that is great for sipping or featured in your favorite cocktail.
Oh, yeah. And then we're also going to be drinking the Queensborough Artisanal Tonic Water.
Oh, they make their own tonic?
They do make their own tonic water. I think it's currently only available at the brewery, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
But let's crack these tonic waters. We'll split the tonic waters half and half with our glasses here.
Oh.
And then we can blend our gins, and we can also put a splash of gin in our shot glasses here.
Let's do this.
So we can talk about the gin and the
mix.
We'll
try the gin straight. And then we'll try it with the mix.
Yes. So why don't you go 50-50 or whatever? I don't know how to do a proper gin and tonic. So,
well, what you want to do is pour in about an ounce of the spirit and then top it up within reason with the tonic up to maybe 4 or 5 parts at the most, I'm thinking.
I'm just going to go half and half. Because I'm not a big spirits guy, so I don't know. Fuck.
All right. Well, I love gin. The Queensborough gin is one of my favorites, to be honest with you, from the local distilleries. And I've tried a lot of them. And this particular gin, the Queensborough gin, is fabulous. The previous gin that Red Racer or whatever
Central City.
Yeah, whatever you want to call them. The previous version, it wasn't that great, but this Queensborough one is so bang on and so delicious. It's ridiculous.
I'm not even a gin fan and I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife's a gin fan and she loves it. And, there's only one other gin in town that I can think of that even comes close. And that's the Odd Society Spirits with their one that's very lavender up front and lemon on the finish.
Yeah.
And it's delicious as well. But it's different. It's different than the Queensborough. The Queensborough is a lot more citrusy up front.
Yeah, exactly. Well, pour your tonic water there, and then we'll pour some of our gins here.
Yeah. Well, this tonic water is interesting looking.
Do you want to taste the tonic water first?
It looks like water.
Just so we can...
Yeah, why not?
Taste the tonic water first. Yeah. It's got a nice, like, lemony citrus.
Very dry on the tongue.
Yeah.
Very sharp citrus, almost like a lemon kind of thing going
with
on.
Like citrus peel going on there.
Yeah.
It's a really nice tonic water because I don't like tonic and I like this stuff.
It's very, I don't know what I want to say.
It's more flavorful than their twists.
It is. It's a nice tonic, but it's not super layered, right? There's not a lot of depth to it.
Yeah.
It's a simple tonic. It's very citrusy and lemony, and I think it would work with most gins, probably.
All right. Here, let's just... slide one of your glasses forward here, and I'll just give you a little splash of the gin.
This is the Queensborough?
This is the Queensborough.
Okay, we're going to try the Queensborough straight. I'm definitely getting some of that lemon rind in the aroma.
Yeah, it's lots of lemon rind. There's definitely some botanicals going on.
Yeah.
I don't know gin that well, so I don't know how to speak about it that much.
I'm also getting that that pongy pond water kind of thing that you get in whiskeys and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
In the background. Oh, man.
I mean, it's gin, so it's hot as fuck.
Well, yeah, it's going to be boozy.
But there's lots of...
it's actually pretty mellow.
Juniper.
Oh, yeah. You're getting the juniper, you're getting the lemon peel, a little bit of that pongy kind of pond water kind of thing, sort of greeny.
It's almost resiny.
Almost.
There's something like it's...
Yeah, that's probably with the lemon.
The closest I can get with a beer term, I think.
Yeah, there's not a lot of beer flavors going on.
Oh, God, no. Fuck no. All right, where's your other glass there? And I'll give you a splash of this.
Let's try this Japanese thing. This is really interesting to me.
The Japanese style gin. Oh.
Now, this is completely new to me. I wasn't even aware of this till tonight. What's the scoop on this? What makes it different?
So this is, like you said there, there's different like Japanese botanicals instead of the typical gin botanicals that you get.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not getting the citrus and stuff that I do.
It's very fruity though, still very fruity.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm getting the fruit. I'm getting that pongy thing. Yeah. It's not quite the same with the lemony though. Oh wow!
To me, this is a lot smoother. It's still fucking big.
To me, that's more of it's more leaning towards a whiskey kind of flavor. Without the caramel and the smoke, that pongy whiskey kind of thing is coming through without the citrusy thing. There's a bit of citrus there still, but not quite. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, getting to the beery thing, there is some like citrus pith in there and stuff, but it obviously just the alcohol punches you in the face.
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting stuff.
All right, well,
I've never had a gin quite like that.
Pour yourself a little bit of both of those, and then I'll pour myself a little bit of both of those in the tonic water, and then we'll talk about our first gin and tonics on the show.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I'm going to keep it mellow. I'm not going to do a 50-50. I think I'm going for about a 20-50, maybe. Okay. So I'm going to start with the Queensborough. Wow.
I mean, the aroma is really floral, really aromatic, like citrus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not anything too overpowering, but nope. It's mellow. The flavor, it's all citrus up front.
Yeah.
More of a lemony.
Lemon-lime mix.
Yeah. And honestly,
and then you're getting some of that botanical, like,
just minor, the notes you should expect. Minor notes, but the booze is hidden. A little bit of juniper. Entirely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, this is smooth as
silk. I could pour another ounce into that, and it would still be hidden. It's so smooth.
Want to try?
So easy. Why not? I don't have to drive tonight.
Neither do I.
Okay, I'll put another half ounce in.
I'll crank mine up, too, and we'll see where it goes.
The turbo? Yeah, let's give this a stir.
The Mario Tuber boost, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my Lord. It almost filled in the bottom end a bit. It brought up that low end.
Yeah, no, it's just super, super drinkable.
Okay, so if you're going to make a gin and tonic with Queensborough, then use a little Queensborough more than you normally would.
Especially if you're using this Queensborough tonic water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, God. Yeah. The combination is amazingly mellow. It's so smooth.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Especially from someone who doesn't drink a lot. I don't drink gin.
Yeah?
And I can drink the fucking shit out of this.
Right?
Oh, it's so good.
Put an ice cube in that.
You want some ice cubes?
No. But I'm saying, like on a hot summer day or something, pour one of those and put an ice cube or two in there.
I don't even need it.
A little piece of lemon on the edge there. You're good to go.
Oh, hell yeah, we are.
That is really easy. We're going to try the Japanese Amakase, one.
Japanese style gin.
With some tonic. Is that the plan?
Yes.
That has a really interesting aroma.
Yeah, it's very fruity still.
I'm getting the lemon and stuff, but I'm also getting the booze off that. It's almost like a sake kind of thing.
If you go go back to back though, it's a very different citrusy aroma.
Totally. Like it's not as lemony.
They're both citrus, but they're both very different.
Yeah, the first one's much more lemony.
Yeah. This is more lime and lime rind.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's almost lime and, like, salty. Like, it's almost like a gosa.
And it finishes dry. Like, you want to drink some more?
Yeah. Oh, I do. I really do.
That is incredibly smooth. It's very cohesive.
Yes.
It's all inclusive. That is really, I wouldn't say complex, but it's going in that direction.
I'd say it's pretty complex because on top of the lime and sort of a saltiness that I'm getting, there's also a big herbal background, which is probably from the juniper and all that you get from a gin.
God damn. That is really good. That is really good.
I might have just screwed you over for the Queensborough gin I'm now. Sorry.
Was that the Japanese one?
That's the Japanese one.
With their tonic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, is that good. That might be the best G&T I've ever had.
Yes.
It's so good. Holy shit.
They'll be happy to hear that, man. They'll be very happy to hear that.
That's crazy. So what's the difference with this Japanese one?
It's just the botanicals they're using.
Okay. That is friggin' fantastic.
Because, yeah, the Queensborough gin is going for that London Dry style.
Yeah, which I like.
And the Japanese is using, like you said, it's using the yuzu lemon, the Sancho peppers, the cherry blossoms, and Japanese tea.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's just a slight variation.
And I like it.
It sounds like something that's happening in Japan right now. And they have kind of piggybacked it and made it their own.
And why wouldn't they? They've already mastered the other spirits. They've already won awards in Scotch and all this other stuff. I mean, why wouldn't they put their own twist on it, right?
Yeah.
And Now that you mention it, I think I can actually taste like the cherry blossoms and stuff in there. It's amazing. This is so complex, really interesting. Makes a great cocktail with the Queensborough tonic.
It does. And I mean, I'm not a big spirits drinker. I'm a rum and coke guy, and that's about it, or beer.
Yeah.
And I can drink the hell out of this.
Yeah, this is delish. I don't drink a lot of spirits. I drink a little bit of whiskey, and occasionally I might have a gin if it's different or interesting. Yeah. And this is amazing. This is delicious.
And you already liked the Queensborough.
Yeah, well, I already knew the Queensborough gin was something I liked because I've tried it previously. Yeah. Even I've had their fizzes and all that stuff. But wow, this Japanese one I hadn't tried before.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's absolutely delicious.
Might be making your own fizzes from now on.
Well, you could very easily buy the Japanese fizz, add your own water to it, and add your own lime or cherry or whatever.
If you have a soda stream, you can make your own sparkling water.
Oh, absolutely.
A little bit of lime juice or lemon juice and a little bit of Queensborough gin, and you've already made your friggin' drink.
You got a liter of pre-made cocktails, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
I have a soda stream, and I love it.
So do we. I might have to start making my own gin drinks.
Right? Well, at least your own soda.
Currently, I only use it for my wife, so more use is good.
Maybe try making some tonic with it.
Definitely. Well, I'm really excited about this because this is our first time really touching on something other than beer, which is my passion. Is that right? But there's so many other good drinks out there, right?
Yeah.
And between the Queensborough gin fizzes, the twists, there's some good stuff coming out of Red Racer, Central City Brewing.
Oh, absolutely.
And you should really check them out. If you haven't gone to their brewery and you're in the area, what the hell are you waiting for? It's like a 10-15 minute walk from the SkyTrain station. Head down to Surrey and check them out.
If you're into whiskeys at all, you need to try the Lohan McKinnon. It's a fantastic single malt whiskey. The they actually had somebody from Lagavulin come in to help them out with it. They've got world-class whiskey people involved in this whiskey. It is fabulous.
And when it comes down to it, if you don't want to head all the way to Surrey, go to the Red Racer, the old Dick's location.
Yeah.
And check out
Vancouver.
A bunch of their beer and other local BC beers.
They have an incredible list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have a pretty damn good kitchen list. It's a small it's a small menu, but it's a good menu.
Yeah.
So if you're heading to Whitecaps game, you're going to a BC Lions game, go BC Lions.
If you're going to a Canucks game, whatever sports activity,
then you really need to go there because it is right across the street from the stadiums.
Yes. Anyways.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. We're going to finish up these drinks because we can't waste these. So if you'd like to support us, like our great patron supporters, like Indie Beer Show, Liz from Hop Bauer, woo! And Steve, one of our co-hosts, go to patreon.com/Pacific Beer Chat. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.